This is The Courier talking football. I'm Eric Nicholson, and with me this week, we're back. We are three again. We are three again, Jim. Much relief. But not that we struggled to find stuff to talk about. With me are Jim Spence and Sean Hamilton. We will find out if he's got a voice in the next hour. Here's hoping. Shall I just save you for the Saints bit and just not speak about it?
We're okay.
Not speak about anything else.
Well, actually, do you know what? Yeah, you're right.
I think you'd rather it was the other way around, wouldn't it? Speak about Dundee and United and leave Saints. But no, we'll start with United because as much as we spoke about them effectively being champions, and I suppose technically they're not yet champions, but they are champions. So our congratulations to them on getting the job done and getting the job done well, which is as much as you can ask. And then, they're getting close to a few records and just making, getting to the sort of mark that, you'd expect United to be at in that league. And then you can look at it and think, there's no way they did scrape up in the end, and they can just say, yeah, we did it, and we did it in a bit of style. So all that.
And under pressure.
Under pressure, yeah. We certainly touched on that last week, that when push came to shove, when it took a twist and Jim Goodwin's referenced it himself, hasn't he? Got things. We got a good interview, which I'll talk about as we get in. But no, he referenced the fact that they needed to find something, both him and his players, and they did, and they've got the job done. So, and they've every right to celebrate it as they. I can imagine there would have been a few United fans of. I was going to say my. Probably, yes, probably would be my vintage, and certainly your vintage, that I saw the glory days that would be tut-tutting at pitch invasions for winning the championships. But no, that's the season's goal. Yeah. Enjoy it. If you can't enjoy it, then what's the point in going?
I never understand people complaining about pitch invasions. I see, as long as they're good-natured. I mean, look, fans invest, and we're all fans, but fans invest a lot of money, a lot of time.
A lot of stress,
particularly you're watching United at times this season. But you invest your life, you're emotionally invested in it, the family history, the whole bit. So you go into the pitch, you're not causing any bother, as long as you're not kind of ripping the shirt off a player's back. And what's the harm? We've become far too tight-laced as a society generally, So it was great to see it. It was great to see the size of the crowd. I mean, and again, I know you don't. I mean, had some intriguing kind of debates, not debates, but discussions on X on Twitter at the weekend. They were saying United have kind of, broken the back of the big support thing. United are the biggest supporter club. Mm-hmm. One or two friends, I know that big Jim listens in here, so big Dundee fans, he was taking me to task for saying, it was the late 70s before United started to kind of get parity and then overtake Dundee. But both the clubs in situations like this will draw 9,000 and 10,000 when you're going for the league. And it shows the potential in the city. It certainly showed the potential at Tannadice. I've no doubt that Dundee have got that kind of potential as well if they were in the situation where they were about to, did it against Dumbarton, didn't they? Few seasons back, they pulled out 11,000 or something like that. So it was great to see that crowd. The fact that they ran onto the pitch, the ebullience of the situation. Loads of young kids, loads of United fans.
Their first.
They haven't seen anything.
First trophy.
Haven't seen the club winning anything. So, I'm not going to be a kind of a killjoy. I thought it was great. I thought, it added to the occasion substantially.
I think I've been involved in a couple.
I know you have. Yes.
Why not? It's good fun. If you get someone.
What was the second one? I know the promotion.
The first one was the last promotion from the champion, first division as it was at the time. And then the second one was, I think actually it was when Lomas was manager and they finished third.
Yeah.
Did they beat Motherwell at McDermott Park?
Liam Craig's last game.
Before he led to Hibs, it might have been. But yeah, it was. There was a pitch invasion after that one because they finished third. That was the second one.
I
wasn't working on the day, but I was.
Yes. I don't remember you charging down from the press box.
Right on the pitch.
I took the day off. Because I suspected that might be a dodgy one.
Lucky you didn't get huckled.
Yeah. Tell you what, there's a few from that have just about gone down from the press box over the years.
I couldn't be a hypocrite. I mean, I was on at the Great Wembley Invasion. I was on the pitch at Wembley. Great Invasion brought me a bit of turf back. And I have to say, in my defence, you had to go. I mean, there's thousands behind you just pushing.
Safety in numbers.
Yeah, I mean, you had to go. You couldn't get out. You couldn't get out of it. But once you were down the front, you thought,
I'm on now.
Not to,
I'm on now. I'll take a sod of turf.
Exactly. Yes. A bit of turf back,
Yes. Well, Sean, last week, Jim and I, we already started moving on because that was two weekends ago. Mm-hmm. Those set of results were the ones that basically gave the final they confirmed it for us, and that we could start looking forward for, in terms of United. And we, you know, Jim, at the end of one of our podcasts, I think it was the last one you were on, touched on something that we didn't have quite the time to go into because it was right at the very end, but it was about, you know, I was speaking about Jim Goodwin and how, yeah, you know, he, for his own good, he, you know, it was good that he was ending with a flourish rather than kind of, I mean, Dundee limp.
Yeah,
Dundee didn't quite limp over. Well, they did Dundee in a way, did, yeah. So, but rather than doing a Gary Bowyer and leaving all that open-ended and all the rest of it, and then we saw what happened with Gary Bowyer. Jim Goodwin hasn't done that. And then Jim threw in and says, well, hold on a minute, maybe this isn't all one way. You know, maybe Jim Goodwin will think about, you know, is this the place for me next season if my stock's high, blah, blah, blah. We want guarantees about money, the future of the club, et cetera, et cetera. Because my reputation's on the line, which it will be at the start of next season. And we can maybe speak about the reasons that that will be the case. And then we spoke about it more last week. And then I think in that context, I think Jim Goodwin's interview in the wake of the match, he's not done his sort of early morning chat with Alan Temple. So it was all post-match stuff that he was talking about. But I thought the tone of his comments were quite informative. I think, again, I want to compare it to, say, to Gary Bowyer, I think we were already getting a picture, a vibe, shall we say, that all wasn't well between him and John Nelms, building up into the sort of end of the season in terms of their relationship and where they were. I think Jim Goodwin is a different... I think the way Jim Goodwin's speaking, that sounds like a man who's committed. He's not going anywhere in terms of looking for another job. He's speaking very, very positively about the support he was given and getting the job in the first place. And the 18 months as a whole, he's already speaking a lot and in detail about the future as in next season and what they'll need to do. So I think unless something dramatic happens in terms of change above him and people coming in and having different conversations, which is always possible, I think Jim Goodwin is wholly invested. Would you agree, Sean?
Yeah, I know. I would also suggest that that's probably the sensible thing for him to do.
He needs to
at this point, yeah,
show something again.
Oh, he does, yeah. But it makes sense for him to come out and give the impression that I'm fully committed to this project. And furthermore, I'm already well down the road of thinking about what we need to do for next season. You know, I'm totally committed to this job, because if it changes then and United decide they don't want you, they look worse. Because it's not, it can't be like, oh, well, he wasn't sure. And, you know, he'd had a hard time last season, was thinking, you know, maybe he should get out. No, he's committed himself. He said, look, here I am, this is me. So it gives United a tougher job if they want to get rid of him, makes them look more harmless.
Which I don't think they will, but that's, again,
probably being too cynical, but that's why it's sensible for him to be talking the way he's talking. And that's not to suggest that he doesn't mean it either. It's funny how, you know, for weeks and weeks, probably months, there's been an undercurrent amongst Dundee United support of Jim Goodwin's not the man for this in the long term, so I think he shouldn't be here next season. There's been people saying that.
Probably still are.
There will be some still saying it, but what was interesting to me is like how quickly that softens off the back of a job done, if you like, because the numbers of people who are sort of in that camp look to me to have shrunk massively, even just in the days since that they've essentially confirmed themselves as champions. A lot of people seem to have gone, ah, well, got the job done.
Yeah, and I noticed there's a couple of, you know, any tweets I saw of people sort of like trying to put it in context and say, hold on a minute, what are you doing there? I still remember what you were like at a certain point of time. I'm talking about a player. I think was it Middleton? Did he respond to somebody?
He did.
Yeah. Saying, oh, come on, enjoy it. You know, basically,
he's quite sensible with it. He just said, you know, leave off with the stick. We've all tried our hardest. Enjoy the celebration, sort of thing. Which, again, it's very good. It just shames the person who's had to go, quite rightly, as well.
Timing is everything.
Exactly. Yeah. But even people who have, I mean, I'm talking largely, I mean, obviously I've not really spoken to many people. I've not been out for about 3 weeks, being not very well, but just looking at social media and stuff like that, I mean, there are people who have been very much on board the Jim Goodwin's a dud, he should go train, if you like, who now seem to have jumped off and are quite happy with the situation. But yeah, that, I mean, that's circumstances. It's the power of circumstances. They will change people's minds like that.
Football's like politics, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean? When the tide turns, people say, well, I never said that. You know, well, actually, you did, Derek. I photoshopped your tweet, you know. No, I mean, I never said that, you know, or well, I didn't really mean it, you know. But, I mean, you know, just as the ebullience and all the rest that attracted the kind of the invasion of the pitch on Saturday, that same ebullience manifests itself sometimes in anger and rage with people. Mm-hmm. And they say things, you know, they say things that maybe they don't mean, or they overreact, or a Saturday night they've had a couple of beers, or, you know, they're going home up their bedroom and battered something on the you know, the iPad or the iPhone or whatever. But there were undoubtedly a good number of people who just didn't fancy Jim as a manager. And you know, I kind of...
There will still be question marks.
Yeah, well, of course, right, but I mean, I wouldn't be, you know, I don't think his agent would be doing his job if he hadn't at least been investigating what was out there. I think managers and their agents are doing it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, what I would say is, I mean, I don't think he's going to leave. I mean, I think his interview was very positive. He sees the challenge ahead. And he's, you know, bear in mind, he's at the sixth biggest club in Scottish football. And so therefore, if he was going to move, where would he go? You know, Celtic and Rangers is out. Mm-hmm. He's not going back to Aberdeen. Hearts is taken. Hibs is potentially available. You need to be a very keen manager, I think, to want to take your chances.
Anyway, Hibs, Jim Goodwin's ain't getting the Hibs job.
I think he fits their profile.
So, you know, so even if it was an issue, where would he be going? He would have gone, I think, if he was keen to move, it would have been south of the border, where there are many, many opportunities and clubs that have got nothing like the track record of Dundee United, but will have three times the support, you know, and the money as well. But I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he will now build, because he will have to build. He'll have to, I mean, rebuild. But there's a substantial amount of building going on in the squad. We touched on that last week about who might be Premiership material, who might not. And it's a difficult thing to gauge, because a lot of these boys will have grown in confidence this season. You know, we're winning the league. Be a year older, a year's more experience under the belt. For some of the more touchy players, and I don't mean that in a bad way, a year's more kind of confidence under their belt as well. I mean, you were talking about Middleton. I mean, there are times this season I've thought that Middleton hasn't delivered what he's capable of, but as the season grew, he kind of grew into it, you know? And that happens with players, and that affects your confidence in a good way. It bangs it up a wee bit. But Jim's got a challenge in front of him. And, you know, one of the main challenges he's got is he doesn't know what the situation will be, I would imagine, in terms of the owner. None of us do. I mean, you know, I still think that Mark Ogren is keen to go. We've talked about, was it Brentford, Brighton? We talked about on here, possibly doing some kind of link-up like they've done with Hibs and all the rest, like the, you know, seems to be becoming the fashion, the multi-club thing. Who knows in football? Things kind of change dramatically from moment to moment. But, you know, at this point in time, I don't see him going anywhere. I think he's rooted there and will be trying to kind of reboot the squad for the challenges of next season. And I like what he's saying about top six, because as I said in McCombe at the weekend, the team up the road put pressure on.
Well, I'm gonna before we get into that, and that is going to be part of what I want to speak about as well. But you just half a minute ago there, Jim, you mentioned, well, you didn't mention them by name. You mentioned Ogren. I saw one of the quotes that jumped out at me from Jim was, he says, "They've shown a lot of confidence in me. I owe Luigi Capuano, the chief executive, a lot for the support he's given me, and the chairman, Mark Ogren, as well, for the financial backing that he's given me." Mm-hmm. I think what we would like to see next, now, I'll give them a wee bit of time because it's only just one, but it's traditional, certainly, when a team wins a league or promotion, certainly in our patch, that you hear from the money men, the ones that are running the club. Next, so I think in the next 2 or 3 weeks before everybody packs their bags and goes on holiday, Sean, I think we would want to hear, ideally, we would love to hear it in an interview with our man Alan Temple rather than in-house. But if in-house, we don't want to suggest that's the way forward. But if they do some sort of interview in-house, that's the next best thing, but it's not quite the same. I would like to see either Mark Ogren or Luigi Capuano get interviewed, just so that we and fans get a picture of where they are, because there's a lot of stuff
yeah.
happening in the background, or not happening, you know, and voids get filled. So mm-hmm. I think uncertainty is a terrible thing for a football club in the broad sense, in terms of the fan base, mm-hmm. players, mm-hmm. managers, mm-hmm. media. Yeah. And I think these next 3 weeks are a good opportunity to fill that void when everybody, Dundee United minded, is feeling very good about things and positive, and this is the time yeah. to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, when people are open to your messaging, mm-hmm. if you like. Yeah, I'm sure we will see that sort of thing, I would imagine. While, you know, we can sit here and say, and the club can, as Jim Goodwin has effectively said, you know, we've won it, we're going to celebrate, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. Goal difference is massive. But technically, yeah. it's not done yet. So I would imagine, off the back of the result that confirms it technically, that's when we'll get ready for that. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine it will come. Whether it's Luigi Capuano, I think it probably will be, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the man who's doing the day-to-day job.
You probably think Mark Ogden will come across for when the trophy the gets trophy, handed
yeah.
over. Yeah.
You would expect so, yeah.
If he doesn't, that'd be a story in itself, really. Oh, be, because you think, what you in it for if you're not coming? But he will.
Yeah, you would think so. I'm trying to think about the last one, because that was COVID the last time, wasn't it? So I doubt he would have come over at that point, because everything was shut down. That was just in the, I don't know when they decided to officially finish the season, whether it was the April or the May or something. But it was certainly, everything was still pretty locked down. Yeah. So I don't imagine he would have been here for that one. He was here for when they qualified for Europe, mm-hmm. up at Ross County.
He was.
I would imagine a trophy lift will be enough of a trigger to get him over here. Because as you say, I mean, it's he owns the club. It's mm-hmm. something for him to celebrate as well. Mm-hmm. And if he's not here, then yeah, it does raise eyebrows. So why is he not here? Mm-hmm. So I would imagine he will be here. I would imagine he will do something. Maybe probably in house. Mm. I would have thought. Just guessing. Yeah. For Mark Ogren. Something like that. But Luigi Capuano, it wouldn't shock me to see do something.
Like, do one in house, and then he'll do an off the record one with Jim and down the church.
Possibly. You should can't make me laugh because I'm going to lose my voice again.
I'll pencil that in for 11 o'clock.
But do you understand what I'm saying, Jim? You think?
No, I mean, I think.
He might not have all the answers. I know he might not be able to speak about these things you're not going to speak about. If deals are in the pipeline, he's not going to start speaking about that. You wouldn't expect him to. But I think it's fair to paint the sort of broad parameters that the manager will be working under for the next season, just to get, I mean, if it's good news, but you need to get fans, you need to get them in the right frame of mind for what is going to happen budget-wise in the summer, because a lot of the United fans will be expecting them to do a Dundee and expecting them to sort of pay. We put Dundee's budget sort of middle of the table. Mm-hmm. It's kind of guesswork, it's informed guesswork who you speak to. I think Dundee's budget would have either just been top six or just below the top six, mm-hmm. round about where they finished the league. So I think United fans would expect and hope that Jim Goodwin's budget would be in that sort of ballpark as well.
Well, I mean, their budget, I've got a rough idea what their budget has been, their wage budget, and it's pretty decent. I mean, it has cut back, obviously.
That's one where Jim Goodwin got it slightly wrong when he said, basically, he's talked about they've got the wage earners off the pair, and they haven't got them all. They've got some.
They've got some. I mean, that's the nature of football. I mean, it's very, very difficult to get, all your big earners off. I mean, for starters, you want to keep some of them. You know, I mean, your big earners, I mean, you know, Tony Watt will be a big earner.
If he could have got rid of him, he would have done last summer.
Yeah, I suspect that's probably right. But as it's turned out, certainly the latter half of the season.
Oh, he's helped get them over the line.
He's helped get them over the line. He's turned into a very kind of useful acquisition, in that latter half, certainly. Don't know about Moult. I don't think Moult will be there on buttons. So he'll be a decent earner. Would you want rid of him? I don't think so. Will he hack it next season in the Premiership?
I had a laugh. Talking about the social media, I was having a laugh just before I came in. I saw a Dundee United fan and a Motherwell fan arguing about it. Yeah, who could throw the most money at Louis Moult over the summer? If you offer him $4,000 wages, we can go higher. You think, come on, let's settle. There's still a question mark whether Louis Moult can do it at the top flight, you know. So he ain't going to be getting $4,000. But carry on, Jim.
No, I mean, I think that, you know, the budget is all down to Mark Ogren, down to what, you know, down to his plans for the future. And we don't know his plans for the future. He may well have had not a sniff at the club. You know, we know there's been talk about kind of Brighton and Brentford kind of talking, you know. I mean, that's the nature of football. None of us can prove any of these things, you know. Believe it happened, but that's another thing entirely, you know. I mean, it may be that nobody's interested. It may be that you know, maybe Mark Ogren gets a second win for things, sees them up in the Premiership again, fancies being back here, you know, things are going well.
We'll do it differently this time. Lessons learned, yeah.
I mean, did he make mistakes last time? Yes, but, you know, when, you know, the guy that got it in the neck mainly was Tony Asgar. But nobody was complaining for the first couple of seasons when Ogren was in and money was going in, they were signing guys and all the rest of it. That's the nature of football. When things turn, so do the fans. And things have turned again. The team are back up the Premiership. It may well be that the owner is in talks. These things take a long time. You know, I mean, you guys know better than me, but Saints, things are still going on at Saints, you know. We assume it will be done, but it might not. There's many a slip to its cup and luck. I mean, when Eddie Thompson took over from wee Jim McLean, it went on for ages and ages and ages. You know, almost was done, almost fell, almost
lawyers,
done. Then eventually,
lawyers like you to know,
so
money.
We don't know what the situation is behind the scenes. And managers are the same. Managers get told things and they have to believe what people tell them. You know, owners can be, I'm not suggesting Mark Ogren is, but I mean, owners don't tell managers everything as well. They can't, by the very nature of things, you know, if they're in deep debate with a potential new buyer or investor, you know, that's got to be kept very, very close to the chest. They might hint at things and all the rest of it. So managers are quite often working, not as much in the dark as us, and certainly not as much in the dark as fans, but sometimes they're working, you know, between different shades as well. So we just, you know, I mean, the main thing is United are up. I mean, as Sean says, Barton, what, kind of losing two games and Wraith winning 38, nothing or something like that, you know. They're up, you know. So it's now a case of Jim will have a rough idea. And he've had a rough idea for a while what he's going to have to play with. And that might change. There might be a few Bob Moore comes in, there might not. And there's other things that come into the equation as well. You know, extra sponsorship. Once you get up to the Premiership, it's not just to some extent, you know, the season book money, although it's very important, is only about a third of what comes in at Tardis, if it is that. These days, what was their turnover? 8.9 million last year. The money that comes to the gates is two million, something like that, you know. So it's the sponsorship money, the TV money and all the rest of it. And once United have kind of done a rough calculation on that, then that, I suppose, will inform roughly what the budget will be as well in terms of signing players that can not just keep you up, but, you know, propel you to the top six, which is where they want to be.
Also, United will be due money next year, I think, from... St Johnstone, and what have you got money this year from? I think it was from UEFA. Mm-hmm. It was a trickle down from European competitions and what have you. It's quite a big sum if I remember rightly, but it was earmarked for youth football. But that's not to say you can't jiggle your books about and make it look like it's going somewhere when in fact it's going somewhere else. But I think United are eligible for that next season, so that'll go into their turnover as well. So there'll be more money there.
There's no such thing as a sentimental manager at the top of football. I don't think there's such thing as a sentimental manager at any level of football. But Jim Goodwin doesn't strike me as that anyway. He's very personable and he's kind of very controlled with his dealings with the media. Absolutely superb. He's the type of guy who I've limited dealings with him. Post-match, I've always said this before, I've always liked how he speaks after a game. In terms of judging a game,
doesn't tend to be overly emotional.
No,
just down
but
the line.
I think there'll be a few surprises in terms of who's kept and who isn't. Mm-hmm. I think he'll firmly be in the mindset of, we had a job to do to get out of the Championship. Mm-hmm. This was the team to do it.
Yeah,
I've got a new job. To do in terms of the Premiership. Are there any players who you think might? There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of shades of grey with this Dundee United team because. You're talking about, like, there's guys who you can't forget that there's plenty of them, took the club down and looked bloody awful in doing so. Yeah. So we can't just wipe that away, can we? And nor will Jim Goodwin wipe that away. But then some of those, you may think it was part of the group they were in and there might not be leaders, but if you've got better, you know, better types around them, it'll be a different story when they're back in the top flight this time. These are all judgment calls that he's got to make. They're also, I mean, I do think if you're not getting a regular game in the Championship, what are the chances of you getting a regular game when
it's legit.
I mean, I'm looking at, and it feels absolutely brutal, you know, because he scored the goal and he's a young lad and he's a local lad. But if I'm Chris Mochrie, for example, I'm thinking I was bit part at best in the Championship. If I'm looking at it with a cold hit, if like my dad's speaking to me and all the rest of it, agent, thinking, let's cut emotion out of it. Really, am I going to get the football that I need to get?
Yeah.
You know, when my manager signs another 8 or 9, you know, it's very nice when they talk about, yeah, we'll get more chances and all the rest of it. We want to. There's a few like that, isn't there? And there's players who.
Yeah,
who struck me straight from the off as being Championship type players. Uh-huh. I even thought, I mean, he'll stay, but you know, at the very, very, very top of those, you'd put Docherty, wouldn't you? You know, he was signed 100% as one of the best players in that league.
The Championship,
in that league. So it's not going to be an easy one for Jim Goodwin, is it?
It's not. No, I mean, Mochrie, I think he's out of contract as well. Mm-hmm. In May, so I mean, yes, he scored a goal and a moment he'll always remember, one to cherish forever. Whether that's enough to win him a new deal, as you say, a sentimental manager might be inclined to. Oh, well, you've earned it, son. Have another year, whatever. But I mean, he's been involved enough, mostly off the bench and such. Like, he's had the odd start and stuff. But yes, if you're thinking, I'm at this point in my career where I want to play every week. And I know that I'm going to be playing every week and getting that run of games that enables you to get to that next level of consistency. Mm-hmm. And
Cadjo is another.
Yeah, he's another one. Then you'd be thinking, I mean, what under those circumstances, also, you'd be looking at what are United going to offer? That, because that's another factor. If they decide to offer him a new contract, how much are they going to offer him? Because United are...
They'll offer something to protect themselves with the payments that they would
of
get
course,
if he leaves. But.
Well, yeah, they've been hurt there before.
Yeah.
As we know.
We'll go back on that.
I mean, United are, I mean, they've got a reputation as good payers in Scottish football. Mm-hmm. So there's an element of that as well. Like, what do United have to pay to keep a boy like Mochrie, for instance? He's out of contract, but he's been there for a certain amount of time. Yes, they need to protect their investment, therefore they need to offer him something sensible. But you know, what's a silly amount?
I think they, well, actually, you make a good point there, Sean, that I wasn't thinking about, but United do need to be far more sensible with what they offer squad players and fringe play, because if the chat that I've heard, and I'm sure you guys have heard, was back in the days when the money was getting thrown around, squad players were getting far, far too much money, you know, and, you know, not, we're not even talking about ones that were regularly getting off the bench. You know, you're talking about guys who are nowhere near first team regulars on about 2 grand and stuff like that.
There was a period where that was pretty standard, I think. I mean, this is going back a few years, but I mean, at that point, I think the reputation still lingers, to be honest with you, that amongst people in football, players and agents and what have you, if there was an offer, Dundee United were interested, that was, here we go. We'll get some good money here.
Absolutely.
Because there was almost Dundee United had set a kind of medium point of what a wage is at this club, and it was higher than a lot of other places. So agents would be like, this is great.
And that's gone on for a long time, Sean. I mean, I knew Stephen Thompson and his dad, Eddie, both very well, as most guys in the game did, and I knew the money they had boys on, going way back, even on the radio. I mean, there were one or two guys, no names, no patchers, who were on incredible money, even back then. You know, for you know, when I hesitate to say for a club of Dundee United size, because they, you know, they're the sixth biggest club in Scotland, but they're no Hibs, they're no Hearts, you know. They play to kind of an average of it, kind of what, less than half of those two, and they've not got the income or the turnover that they do, or an Aberdeen or whatever, but they paid very, very good money, and they still do. So you're right, kind of, you know, it's a lick the lips,
a
lick in the chops when agents hear that United are involved. And I think those days are probably gone. I think Mark Ogren.
Well, they are to an extent, but I mean, when you've got, I mean, they wouldn't get too far into innuendo and whatever, because we're not going to say what we think people are on and what have you. But when you've got Tony Tony Watt in the squad, who's on good money, right? I mean, everybody in football knows that, including everybody else's agent and what have you. So, for instance, when Louis Moult, when they're interested in signing him, Louis Moult's agent's going to be on, well, we know that he's on that. So, what are you going to offer us? Because it better not be nothing. Otherwise, you've no chance.
Plus, of course, you're playing the Premiership. So
Of course. I mean,
there's market rates. You know,
it causes you a problem. Yeah. It sets a precedent for other wages when you've got a boy on big money in there. So that's
which goes back to that point I was talking about, that Jim Goodwin, there's subtlety, the fact that it isn't quite as he said, the fact that they haven't got rid of all their big earners doesn't enable, it gives them the problems that you're just talking about there, Sean. Yeah. So they're not quite going from a standing start yet.
Not at all. No, and yes, so yeah, this, I mean, it's going to be a fascinating summer because there's a lot of young players there who have been kicking about the fringes of the first team for quite a while, who've come through the youth setup and all that. And we know that United for a good few years under Mark Ogren specifically have made a point of saying, we're pivoting our operation, we're going to make the academy the centre of what we do, we're going to bring these kids through, we'll ship them on, we'll make money that way.
Hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't really happened. But this group now, who you can't really call youth players anymore. No. They're now first team players. I mean, the likes of Fotheringham, for instance, and indeed Mochrie and what have you. I mean, Mika Sin, Rory McLeod, what have you. These guys, they're at that. I mean, McLeod is still involved in under-18s, to be fair to him, but has been out on loan, didn't really work out. He's back there. He's still young enough. But these guys now are getting to that point where it's like, right, well, it's adult contract time now. So if you want to keep them, they're going to cost you more money. So the question then becomes, do we want to keep them?
And you're right, they're no kids anymore. You know, when you watch Barca and PSG, you see an 18, a 17, and a 16-year-old, you think, hang on a second, you know. Because, you know, you're right, I mean, I did with McCormick, I've got Louise Barr, I was talking about, you know, Graeme McClelland, I thought, you know, all the, you know, making a fine central defence, and you think, you know, you talk about them in terms of kind of being kids, and you're looking, you think, actually, they're no kids. You know, Ross Graham's got 23 now. McClelland, is he 22? You know, so, you know, and as I say, you turn on PSG and Barn. Now, I know that there's always exceptions, you know that. I mean, Dennis Law played at 16 for Huddersfield. There's other guys that don't make the break until a wee bit later, you know. Saw a guy in one of the American baseball teams are digging his debut at 31,
well,
you know.
I think one thing that that young players do need to make that breakthrough is a consistent run of games. Most of these players haven't had that.
No, it's chicken and egg, isn't it? You've got to be able to persuade your manager that you're good enough to get that run, you know. But you've got to be good enough. To pursue
Right, Jim, before we'll wrap up with United, but it'll link into Dundee. Here's the problem I think United have got in the summer, and it will be, and we can talk all about the bigger picture. It's a two-club city. Doesn't need spelling out. Dundee United fans will expect, Dundee have set the bar in terms of a team that's gone up and had to do a summer rebuild. United fans will expect something similar. And they might not. That is where the bar is set, isn't it?
Well, I mean, United fans think they're the bigger club, and they, you know, they are the bigger club in terms of
In terms of them getting the recruitment spot
club,
on.
Yeah, Dundee are the bigger club in terms of the Premiership, and there's not that much. You know, there's no a massive amount between the two in terms of kind of home court support and stuff like that. It's no kind of like comparing United to Hibs or Hearts, who are playing at 17,000, 18,000 people. It's not like that. And yes, and I think, you know what, I think they're entitled to. And that's why I said the other week, Tony Docherty is kind of, he's maybe made a rod to break his own back, but he's certainly made a rod to break others' back. Because people have looked and went, Tony Docherty came in there as a supposedly kind of rookie manager, albeit we know that's a nonsense. I mean, his first gig. But he literally took Dundee with a scruff of the neck a long ways. And I noticed he was talking about Gordon Strachan as well during the week, the recruitment team, you know. But he took Dundee with a scruff of the neck and propelled them to a team that might yet finish fifth in European football from a standing start. So United fans will be entitled to say, well, if he can do it, why can we not do it?
Yeah, so that's just how it works.
Yeah, but that said, I mean, that's this season for Dundee. And then next season, what if they're 10th?
That's their story.
If United are 8th and Dundee are 10th, United would be happy with that.
Exactly how it works. And I also think, this is definitely the last thing, but I think Jim Goodwin's first problem, might not be a problem, it could go for him, but the derbies... Yeah. When these two teams meet, and that's when all of a sudden the heads will come back above. All the snipers will be back out
when
again.
If they
play early in the season and United are beaten,
yeah,
and they look like they're playing against a team that's much better than them, that's when these problems will start. Yeah. But again, let's let them enjoy the title and build a squad. But that it'll be the derbies will be absolutely fascinating, because I'm trying to remember the last time when they were both feeling good about themselves in the top flight.
Crikey.
You know what I mean?
No
and
idea.
If United, let's say United get one of these partners, something happens, but or Mark Ogren gets reinvigorated and United do a bit of squad building on a level that United fans think their club deserves. Dundee are in Europe. You know, the two teams are feeling good about themselves, then we're in for a cracking set of derbies. So yes, Dundee then, Sean. I'm almost inclined to make them favourites for Europe now.
Oh really?
Yes.
Okay.
Just in terms of the team I watched on the telly against Rangers, in terms of St Mirren,
yeah,
having a history of bottling anything of anything meaningful. You know, they like to, I mean, I noticed people talk about Dundee celebrating the top six. I thought Stephen Robinson was going overboard about the way he was sort of marking it and saying what a fine achievement it was, because they've been there all season. And I think we expect...
That's Stephen Robinson, isn't it?
We expect, or I expect, St Mirren to have finished fifth, given where they were for a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But looking at them in terms of form, in terms of Dundee, things freeing up for them a wee bit, just in terms of just getting into the top six near the end, 2 points in it. Dundee have got the momentum for me. And Dundee team was, if they just had a wee bit more composure,
yeah,
they would have picked Rangers off in that last match.
Well, yeah, if they'd had a wee bit more composure in general across the course of the season, they would have been ahead of St Mirren.
Good point.
At this point. But they've chucked away a lot of points from winning positions and being ahead.
I think they're now a better team than St Mirren as we stand.
Yeah, I think at this point in the season, I think you're right. I do think that weakness is still there, and I don't know what you do about that at this stage. I think you just have to go bollocks to it. Let's just go for it.
Yes.
And I think that has to be the way you go about it, because I've said a few times before, but the difference between Dundee at their best and Dundee when they're not at it is really quite big. This season, but that means when they're good, they're really good. If they can find a way to be good for these last five games, I mean, they've got a real chance. I agree with you. I mean, that game against St Mirren, which is the second game after the split, that'll be juicy.
That'll be really, really good.
I mean, it could be the case that, I mean, who have St Mirren got in their first game? Actually, I've not
That's
even checked that.
That's a very good question. Because obviously Dundee's got Celtic, but then you give Dundee a chance in that. And neither Celtic nor Rangers are making it easy for their fans.
Well, the Celtic fans were on their case big time at the weekend. I mean, some of the stuff last night on social media was brutal.
St Mirren have got Rangers first.
Well, there you go. So
it could be...
All being equal, it should still be 2 points
exactly.
going into it.
So, I mean, that could be massive. That being the case, if you can get to that game with a chance to go above them with a win, that's massive. At that point, and the way that Dundee have been this season, absolutely couldn't. I would make them favourites for it. Yeah, at this stage of the season, against that St Mirren team. What I do think that Tony Docherty, as you said, a rookie manager, if you like, which he's clearly not and never has been, but what he's got over Stephen Robinson, who's done a good job at St Mirren, was very keen to let you know all about it as well. But what Tony Docherty's got over Stephen Robinson, I think, I think Stephen Robinson's got that hair. He comes across as a boy with a hair trigger, kind of temper. He can be quite emotional.
I think Doc's got a bit of that.
I know. But I mean, behind closed doors is one thing. But you see, I mean, Stephen Robinson arguments with punters on the pitch and stuff like that. I mean, that happened earlier this season. I just think under pressure.
I think
Doc's a little bit more level with it, despite being a rookie manager. So I'd back Dundee at this point. I think they'll just get it.
I think it's all set up as well, isn't it? Because then you'll get all the conversations about them, the the battle to get their pitch ready for it. And all, you know, and that'll be the next saga, won't it? No, we're not,
it's a fair point.
We're not speaking about pitches at this moment in time. Okay, a pitch free podcast. Okay, I'm you should really buy a courier after listening to this podcast. Eh? I'm now looking at Tony Docherty's comments about Lyle Cameron. And how are you reading between the lines in this one? He's obviously talking up his player. You can't not talk up your player after the season he's had. Well, no, Lyle Cameron and Luke McCowan are the two stars of this team, apart from the two stars that they've got that they have under contract. You know, Owen Beck is the third one. He just says, I think it's natural if you're doing well, of course, they're going to attract suitors, blah, blah, blah. And more on that sort of theme. Do you think expect Luke McCowan, both Luke McCowan and Lyle Cameron have only got a year left in their deal? With everything that's happening in terms of the spend that Dundee are going to need to make on their pitch, etc., do you think it's one or t'other of them is going to go? And if it was one or t'other, who would you keep and who would you try to sell? Or do you think it's going to be neither? There you are. Plenty for you over there, Jim.
I don't know the answer. It entirely depends on whether Tim Keyes has closed the purse strings for the moment and isn't prepared to invest that much more, other than an outgoing in terms of wages. Because, you know, if players re-sign, they'll not just re-sign contract. They might want signing on fees and all the rest of it. You know, they want bigger wages. Having done what they've done, they want an uplift in wages. McCowan, I would be tempted to say I'd want to keep McCowan because he's... I think he's...
You get more money for Cameron.
Because
he's younger. Do you know? Yeah,
he's younger. The issue with Cameron, and I hate saying this as a short ass myself, I hate saying this, but he's a smaller player. He's he's a lightweight. I don't mean in terms of talent. He's a small frame boy and all the rest of it. You know, and he's been terrific this season at Dens. But, you know, where is there money to be got for him? Is it in Scotland? Or would it be south of the border? Now, where could he play south of the border? Could he play Premier League? I doubt it. You know, he's diminutive. I mean, to play at the Premier League at his size, you've got to be Messi, you know, or something like that. You know, you've got to be a Gianfranco Zola or something like that, you know. So might it be the Championship? That's the land of the giants. Saying that, he could probably earn twice the money he's on, three times the money he's on in the third tier of English football, you know.
There are wee players who succeed in the Championship.
Barry Bannon,
that's the one I'm thinking of, yeah. These Scottish players, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bannon's been there 9 years.
He's all his league football down there, really.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not suggesting for a moment, and he's still a young boy.
But when you look, I threw too many questions at you there, Jim. It was terrible podcast hosting strategy there. I should have just kept it one at a time. When you read Tony's comments, what do you... Do you read anything into it, or do you just think somebody's asking him a question?
I think,
what about Lyle Cameron?
He's playing the game. I mean, that's what managers do. I mean, the simple fact is, if somebody comes in with a right bid for either Cameron or McCowan, he'll be off. That's no just
if they're not given an inclination to sign a new deal because it's last year for both.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but if somebody comes in with, I mean, if somebody was coming in tomorrow with a bid of £1 million for either of these two players, I don't see
McCowan's talked about signing a new deal.
Speaking about that last week. It's a wee while ago, though, wasn't it?
It was a wee while ago, and so I mean, it could well be that discussions are moving on, or it could well be that. Given what's likely, I mean, the pitch, yes, we're back on that again, but it's relevant in the sense that Dundee are going to have to spend money on their pitch in the summer. And if there's an easy opportunity to get, what in the last year of his contract, what are you going to get from $500,000, something like that?
Which one? McCowan?
No, McCowan. If there's an opportunity to get something like that for him, then, I mean, that's going to offset what you've got to spend on your pitch and more, probably. So... I think there's the temptation has to be there if there's an offer that comes in. And Cameron, similarly, I think getting rid of both of them would probably be too much for...
Ever happen.
I think the other thing that Doc said, he was talking about wanting less loan players, wasn't he? Uh-huh. He was wanting more kind of, you know, more signings at the club, and I think that's a good thing as well. So he's got two guys that are on contract. I mean, I would be... not at all surprised if both these guys sign new deals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be a great deal for Dundee if they did. I think Cameron has a move in him, but hopefully not
I
yet.
Think Cameron should...
I think he develops he physically should stay, and
I think, because it's his first... I think there's more development in him at Dundee. McCowan, if I'm McCowan, depends what... You just can't get somebody's head as to where they see their career going. But if I don't see McCowan's stock ever being higher and him being... than it is now. Mm-hmm. So I think if he'll get a good, healthy pay rise, you'd think, at Dundee. Mm-hmm. We spoke about this this week as well last week. The options, his problem is the options are narrowing with it looks like, same with Cameron actually, because he was linked with Hearts last summer, but Hearts have seemed to have filled that area, you know, Blair Spittle and Danda. Mm-hmm. That's an obvious one. Aberdeen, getting a Swedish manager, very unlikely. Hibs is really looking like the only possible...
I think another thing with Hibs is, and this is something that's relevant to clubs who have entered into these partnerships, is that I don't think up to now, really, the partnership has infringed too much on how Hibs are running their operations, but I think it's about to. Because of the way that the communications have been coming out, I think not getting the top six has been a real...
We're here now.
That's
we're
unacceptable.
Take over. There you go. Take a back seat.
What's been going on here? Let's have a look.
They're going to have a rooting branch, aren't they?
Exactly. So Bournemouth are the owners or whatever are going to go, how on earth is this going? How are you running this? And then they'll
not very well.
They could well rip it up and start again. So Hibs, again, is a complete... Who knows what happens with them this summer or what direction they go in. I think that's the same as Aberdeen with the new manager coming in. Who knows what they're going to be interested in or what they're looking at already or what sort of player they're going to be scouting or how they're going to be doing it or whether they're going to have a budget to buy players or whatever. There's so many unknowns in Scotland in particular. And Rangers and Celtic, now, to me, they're not... It doesn't look to me like they shop in the Scottish market.
They don't,
anymore.
Not in the same way.
They used to. So it used to be that they would just pick off the cream of the players at the best clubs in Scotland. They don't do that really now. I mean, even the talk about Shankland in January.
I don't think that's going to happen.
If Rangers had wanted them, they could have gone and got them. I don't think. I mean, this is not to do Shankland down, because Shankland's had he's a brilliant footballer at Premiership level in Scotland. Just an unbelievable finisher. His feet are really, really, really good. He's got a burst of pace over about 5 yards, which is what you need. He's not got much beyond that. And I think that's part of the problem. I think athleticism wise.
The levels, him v. Miowski at the weekend there, you saw why one will go for Milan.
Yes, exactly.
And one will probably sign a new deal.
I don't think Shanklin's got the athleticism that Rangers or a Celtic looking at European football and trying to make a dent there.
How do you take us to the next level?
I don't think he's the boy for that. But at Hearts, fantastic. I think he's found his level at Hearts, to be honest with you. That's not to do him down.
Hearts are the new Rangers and Celtic. You don't get the same.
Yes.
But in terms of buying the best,
they'll come and
Scottish
get your best
ones,
players.
Danda, Spittle. Yeah. So that's why. I'm probably talked myself round to your point as well, Jim. That both as much to do with the landscape that I suspect you could see both signing new deals at Dundee, which would be great for them.
Well, you know, what you've kind of always got to ask yourself, you know, I've sometimes think it's kind of like the BBC, you know, if you worked with the BBC in Scotland, well, due respect, in terms of broadcasting,
where did you go next?
You know, maybe Sky or something like that, but by and large, you're at the top of the tree in terms of kind of, you know, career advancement, career opportunities, probably money as well. And football, you know, football's no that different. You've got to ask yourself what else is out there. And if you're McCown or Cameron at the minute, you're playing with a club who are doing brilliantly. They might be in Europe next season. There's a good squad of boys. Tony Dock might be able to keep a good number of them. You know, he'll be doing his recruitment already. You've been looking at all that. Things are going well at the club. You know, there's a good atmosphere. And I think
Europe might be a defining factor.
They're loved. Yeah. If you're the main man like Luke McCown as well, I mean, I think he is now the main. Now that Owen Beck is gone, Luke McCown is that team's talisman, isn't it? And that carries a lot of weight. I mean, he'll know the adoration for him, and he's about to get it at end of season awards and all the rest of it. So that has a big,
in terms
big
of in terms
well.
Of the finance as well as the
you'd
you
need
know,
to get English Championship McCown, wouldn't
I
they?
Think so. But in terms of the prestige of playing in Europe, even if it's just a qualifier, which unfortunately is most likely to be, unless Dundee can buck the trend that most clubs have failed to do. But it does give your budget a little kick up the pants as well. If you qualify for Europe and get a couple of games, if you can get through the first round and the second round and get a few games there,
you get a big name like with Galatasaray.
Exactly. You'll get money. So that might be a decisive factor.
Good for profile as well, both for the club absolutely. And players. You know, the fact that the clubs have been in Europe and the players play in Europe as well, but I wouldn't surprise me the least if the two of them do sign new deals, extended deals, and there might be something in there. Agent puts something, if we get an offer of X, he gets to go, that kind of thing. But you've got to ask yourself, what is out there for the two of them? At the moment, I think Cameron can bide his time. He'll grow physically, he'll mature. I think he's developing a terrific young player, but he is still kind of youngish, despite what I said earlier on about Barca and PSG. McCown's at a different age. McCown's 26 he's at a very good age. He's kind of heading at his peak earning capacity, but what else is out there for him? We don't know. There might be something startling out there for him. There might be somebody prepared. If it was a Hearts, Dundee, there's no way that Dundee are going to compete with Hearts or paying kind of 5, 6, up to 8 grand for some players. There's no way, but I'm not sure that that's on the agenda. So if the two of them re-sign, and they re-sign also when they're getting the adulation, they're the focal point of a team, it's good to be in a club that kind of they think they're going places, and where you're seen as being very much, not just part of the furniture, but kind of the main, the legs of the legs of the sideboard, Lousy analogy in that.
Yeah, but it's just
sideboard.
right, Sean. What was your first reaction? You were probably in your sick bed, so you probably weren't caring. But when you saw the post-split fixtures, did you have anything in your head for St Johnstone? What you were wanting, what you weren't wanting? I was cursing it, I have to say, because I was writing a piece on a wish list for St Johnstone, because we were led to believe it was going to be, I think it was going to be the Thursday, and then out they popped at about 4 o'clock on a Wednesday or something like that. So, but fortuitously, it didn't actually take that much of a rewrite, because on my wish list for St Johnstone was that either Saints or neither got Aberdeen first up, because Shinny was suspended.
Right.
And I didn't want Saints to be having Livingston first up, which Ross County have got, because this is their do or die. Mm-hmm. We knew that Saints were, in terms of the head-to-heads, they were going to have to do 3 away, 1 at home with somebody. If that had been Ross County, that would have been a disaster, because Ross County are, you think Saints are bad at home. Mm. Well, look at Ross County's stats away. They haven't won away since the start of September. Yeah. So you really wanted that one at home, which they got. You kind of want a team that's done by the last game, which Mother County will, and Saints probably both will have. I tell you what, from a Saints perspective as well, I wasn't wanting Aberdeen to get to that cup final, because they'd have played the kids in their last game against Ross County.
Yeah, possibly.
So there's a few things that go through that ultimately, they probably don't matter as much as we think they matter. Yeah. But did you have any sort of big, I want and I really, really don't want?
Nowhere near as many as you did.
No, I had to write about it though.
I know, yeah.
You've got a lot of imagination, eh?
Yes. Unfortunately,
I've had to pore over these post-lit fixtures for 3 years in a row now.
To be honest, no, not really. And I think it's just a symptom of...
Neither did Craig Levine.
I think it's just a symptom of where I am personally with the team at the moment. And that I'm at that point where it's like, well, what'll be. To be honest with you, I'm also at the point now where I'm thinking, like, if they go down, they deserve it. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Well, that's 99 times out of 100, that is the case anyway, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, certainly if you go down through the playoffs, if you can't beat, no disrespect, well, I'm going to disrespect them now, actually, but if St Johnstone or Ross County... can't beat whoever they face in the playoffs this year's
you
championship,
don't deserve to be there.
You deserve to have to take your medicine Absolutely. And rebuild.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think after, 3 full seasons of struggling down at the bottom, circling the drain, you might say.
It's a very popular phrase on St Johnstone Twitter.
It is, yeah. Understandably so. But I think if at the end of the third season of this, which we're in at the moment, if they were to go down at the end of that, I don't think anybody could complain about it, because they've been crap for 3 years. And I kind
broadly
of,
crap,
I
yes.
kind of just am. That's where I am with it at this point. I'm at the point where I almost don't care.
Well, I'm hoping the rest of this, I'm hoping there are a few St. Johnstone fans who aren't quite as accepting of their fate just now. It. Yes, I think they need to, because this is a job that can still be, they can still keep themselves out of the playoffs. I know that Ross County had that eye-catching result against Rangers, but it's 2 weeks, it's a reset, it's a mini league, it's a sprint, call it whatever you want. They can still keep themselves above Ross County.
Well, it's a straight shot between the two, and you know, Sean's right. I mean, if, you know, everything's in Saints' favour in terms of should they go down, because they don't go down automatically. They get a playoff position against teams who have played more games than them, who are at the tail end of the season, who theoretically, there is a big gap between the Premiership and the Championship, but. You know, the way Saints have been playing and the way the likes of Wraith have been playing, it's not enormous, you know. So that would be tough. It'd be very tough.
Well, St. Johnstone have already seen that this season.
That's right. I've seen that. The thing is this, you know, I mean, I think at this stage, it's now, it really comes down to, it almost doesn't matter about whether you're at home, you're away, who you're up against. You've met them all before. It is now about kind of things like character and ambition and hunger and all that. But there's nothing new we can learn about any of these things now. We've seen how much character these players have got. We've seen how much ambition they've got.
Yep.
We've seen how much drive they've got. You're not going to learn something in the final five games of the season that you didn't know. There's nothing going to emerge that's going to stun you, that you're going to say, where was that all season? You know? So I think it's for both Saints and Ross County in that straight shot between them, it's now just a case of who can muster the most energy and the drive and the dig and all the rest of it. And there might not be much between them. Naturally, given it's our patch and there are clubs who, you know, you want St. Johnstone to do it. But I'd say the other week, this is where the managers come in. I mean, Don Cowie, younger manager, kind of less experienced managerial terms, but they pull out that terrific result against Rangers, and very deservedly so. What we also did say was, I think one of the differences between the two sides might be Simon Murray.
We did say that. You know, bit of chat, by the way, that and maybe this will come out in the papers from our sister paper up north. Bit of chat that Roy McGregor paid for the Ross County players to go away to Marbella or something or the like after the Rangers. Is that a good or a bad thing?
Roy's like that. I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. At least during COVID, he made me a really good offer to go and do the in-house commentaries. Far more than the BBC were paying, you know.
So
if you get a chance to get yourself a Dingwall, you know.
Tell you how good Jim's bank balance looking like if he could turn it down.
I didn't fancy that trek up the Dingwall twice a week, you know. But I mean, Roy Watt undoubtedly will, he's a very, very wealthy individual. He's a very wealthy man, you know. I mean, he's, in the days, some of the older listeners will remember the Kestrel. I mean, you know, the Kestrel Marine Yard. I mean, Roy was heavily involved in a lot of the work there, supplied a lot of the stuff and all the rest of him. He's a very, very wealthy individual. And he'll have
incentivised his players.
He'll do everything.
He'll got his number.
I do actually. Right. He'll do everything under the sun to ensure that Ross County stay up, because I think I think Ross County will be in a better position than Inverness if they go down, because they're a better off club with him at the helm. And
they don't stay down for long, do they? They usually find a way to come back.
But you don't want to go down, you know. This is where Craig Levein will earn his corn or not, you know. He's got double bites at the cherry. He's got the next five games and he's got the playoff game, should it come to that. And the players, you know, the players are now playing for, and I hate the phrase, you know, because there shouldn't be such a thing as professional pride. It should just be a given that you have that pride in your own performance, whether you're a runner, a tennis player, a darts player, a football player. They're now playing for kind of, for that pride and, you know, in their own performance and in the jersey and what it means to them, you know. So, and how it'll go is anybody's guess, given what's between the two sides. It's razor blade
stuff. I think that the fact that we can even sit and say it's anyone's guess, but whether you see that professional pride or not, that's damning.
Yeah.
And I think it's true.
Out of the ones that could come back, who would you most like to, are you Dre Wright?
It would be good to see Dre. It depends what, I mean, I think having too high expectations is probably the wrong thing to do, because he's been out for a very long time. So he's not going to come back into the side and immediately.
I think you'd have to play him as a winger. 100%, you're not going to ask him to do that wing
shift,
back.
No.
shift.
I mean, I think thinking back to before he went out of the team injured, the few performances that he had leading into that, I thought he was very poor.
And yeah, was he great at the start of the season? No,
he was carrying an injury, obviously, or dealing with something that progressed.
They probably didn't know. Yeah.
But I thought he was poor at the start of the season. So, but expecting him to come back in after the amount of time he's been out and completely transform the right hand side of the pitch for St Johnstone, and suddenly they're a swashbuckling
just be there
attacking.
Though. Just being there though, because too often there isn't a player there, and.
Uh-huh.
Physically, you know, like filling that space.
Yeah, if there's a system that Craig Levein's happy to play where he can stand on the halfway line, if you like,
do his work
and not
have
to go too far backwards, then yeah, it would be interesting. It potentially transformative. It's certainly. I mean, I can't remember the last time on either flank that St Johnstone had somebody hitting the byline or somebody overlapping to hit the byline. I mean.
No, overlaps don't happen.
I can't remember the last time that happened. Don't think all season. No. So, yeah, possibly. But again, I mean, I'm kind of resigned to that as well. We'll see what happens if it happens. I don't think anybody that could come back is going to have a transformative effect. Mm. If I'm wrong, I'd be delighted. Really, really pleased. But I don't think there's a Superman waiting in the wings to come back and change this team fundamentally.
You think, last word, they're playing Hibs? Well, Hibs, where will their motivation be? Where will their minds be, given it's been, obviously, it was an absolute sickener for them, the way they didn't make top six. They're a big, big club. So whatever they do from now on doesn't even get close to equating to achievement, you know. Some teams you could say, oh, best of the rest, seventh. We'll take that. That's not bad. Hibs doesn't matter a jot. They know there's a lot of change coming. There's a bit of, it certainly wasn't a vote of confidence in a positive sense, that statement that came out. What type of Hibs are Saints going to face? Are they going to face an angry Hibs with a point to prove? Or are they going to face a Hibs that will just say, oh, we just want this season to end?
Who knows with Hibs? I mean, you know, I think I said here a few weeks back, I said before, Hibs, I sometimes think Hibs need less of a manager than an exorcist about the place. There's a darkness about Easter Road that, you know, they're a club that are expected
darkness
to play.
Darkness.
No, they're a club that's expected to play that kind of, you know, a swashbuckling entertaining football.
Yeah.
And in fact, the truth is, they haven't played it in about 30 years. You know, this goes back to the great sides of Cropley and Stanton and all that, and they've had a couple of good sides since that, you know. But there's an expectation that they never seem to live up to. You see it in the derbies against Hearts. I mean, so there are a lot of people about that club, I think, that frankly are almost beyond caring. Which, you know, does it affect Saints and Ross County? Well, yeah, they've got to meet them. But you just don't know what kind of Hibs will turn up in the day. And I think they're safe, so they're not going down. There's a lot of guys here that have got big paychecks coming in every week in their you know, monthly salary. And there's a lot of guys, I think, who must know that they'll be going to manager. I don't think the manager will be there next season.
No, he'll be gone.
He'll be gone, you know. So I think it's a club in a real kind of state of crisis, which, you know, certainly can work for St Johnstone, but can work for Ross County as well. That's the problem.
Yeah. I know. They both play them. Yes, they both play them. Okay, well, guys, thank you very much. And thank you for listening. We will be back next week. Bye bye.
If you like the podcast, we'd be grateful if you tell your pals about it. Or even better, leave a review or a simple rating on iTunes or wherever you find your podcasts. All that really helps people to find Talking Football, and that means a lot to us. Don't forget too to pick up your copy of The Courier Monday to Saturday or go to thecourier.co.uk/subscribe to find out how to get our award-winning sport, business and local journalism across Tayside and Fife in the way that's right for you. The Courier. Local matters.